Welcome back, everyone.
I'm Nicole.
And I'm Crystal. You're listening to Las Brujas and Friends podcast.
A podcast where we talk about legends and paranormal stories sprinkled with true crime, extraterrestrial, and the like.
Little disclaimer, we're not professionals, we're not historians, we just love everything scary.
If you haven't already, which you should have, subscribe to and review this podcast.
In today's episode, I am talking about a person.
And I am talking about a folklore.
Oh, you're going into folklore land?
Yep.
I am talking about a paranormal investigator slash a couple haunted dolls are going to be thrown into this mix. Who's going first?
I can go first.
Go for it. I want to hear about this camel.
So I happened to visit Arizona, and I figured what better to do than find a story about Arizona.
When did you go to Arizona?
Well, what city?
Oh, was that in Arizona?
Yeah. You're on that across the street.
Oh, I didn't know. Oh, the river. Mm-hmm. That's right. That's the border, right? Yep. At least in that part. Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. Yep. Okay.
One foot. Mm-hmm. So Arizona has a folklore story. This goes all the way back to the mid-1800s. And it's called A Story About the Red Ghost. Now, going into the Red Ghost, I'm going to go over just a little bit of a preface of how the story began. Back then, the U.S. Army introduced camels to the Southwest, using them as beasts of burden while serving across the northern Arizona. Now, when they brought over these camels, their service was interrupted and pretty much the animals were allowed to run wild in the desert because camels can survive in the desert. Yeah. It was about $30,000 to allow the experiment of using the camels.
$30,000 mm-hmm. per camel or just for all of them?
Just in general. It was just a bill. Okay. So $30,000. I'll tell you later about facts of how much camels cost.
I was just going to say that's cheaper.
So 72 camels came over to the Southwest. And imagine 72 camels just roaming about in the Southwest, starting in Arizona. It went all the way from Texas to California, but Arizona is where it started.
That's cool.
Mm-hmm. So, of course, with camels, they're used to pretty much like mules, carrying supplies, doing, you know, whatever they needed to do. Now, this story, I'm going to go over a series of stories because everyone has their own story. The story begins in 1883, a lonely ranch near Eagle Creek in southeastern Arizona. The Apache Wars were drawing close. However, a few renegade bands were on the prowl, keeping isolated the ranches in a constant state of siege. One early morning, two men rode out to check the livestock, leaving their wives at the ranch with the children. In the mid-morning, one of the women went down to the spring to fetch a bucket of water, while the other woman remained in the house with the children. Suddenly, the dogs began to bark. The woman inside heard a terrifying scream and looking out the window, just like we all do, she bombarded and like covered the front door. She said she saw a red-hued beast running, like with a devilish-looking creature on its back.
What the heck?
Large beast, yes. And then had something strapped to the back, yes. So the frightened woman, again, barricaded the house, waited for the men to return. That night, they found the other woman at the spring, trampled to death. Next day, tracks were found of cloven hoofs prints that were larger than the average horse, along with strands of reddish hair.
Was it the camel? Maybe.
Yes. A few days later, a party of prospectors near Clifton were awakened by the sound of thundering hooves and ear-piercing screams. Their tent collapsed. The men clawed their way out of the tangle just to see a gigantic creature run off into the moonlight. The next day, the two found huge cloven hoof prints and long red strands of hair in the brush. Mm-hmm. Same thing.
I'm thinking bear or camel right now.
Yes. And so another story that I found, this red creature is said to have eaten a bear, mauled a bear. But I can't imagine a bear being in the desert. So I kind of was like, meh.
Yeah, they're usually California, in the mountains. Yes.
Yeah.
Even if it's, they're usually in the mountains. They're usually around more water than that.
A mountain lion, maybe. Coyote. Cool. A bear.
Okay. You never know.
Yeah. One tale alleges that a rider, which was a young soldier, he was afraid of camels. So having difficulty learning how to ride them, in order to teach him, his fellow soldiers tied him to the top of the beast that so then he would get over his fear. The camel hit his rump and took off running. So the soldiers pursued the camel that was pretty much taken off, right? Pretty much the camel took off so fast that he couldn't, they couldn't find the camel nor that person, the soldier.
Dang.
So that's why I think that maybe this person that's supposed to be on top of him could have been, you know, I kind of thought this was more of like the headless horseman.
Yeah.
But it's not headless.
Like, yeah.
This is another tale. Same thing with the soldier. So this one says, near Phoenix, a cowboy came up to the red ghost and tossed a loop around his neck because what do cowboys do? Mm-hmm. Love riding things that can, you know, wrangling things.
The lasso. Yeah.
So the angry beast, after having the lasso around his neck, charged the cowboy after galloping off in a cloud of dust. The cowboy recognized skeletal remains on its back. The last man to see this beast was rancher Miso Hastings, who saw the beast through his window. So with his steady hand and his lovely Winchester, he took one shot and killed this camel.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. And it was grazing in his garden in the desert. Again, in the desert, in the garden. Doesn't make sense.
I know. Where is this at?
This is in the 1800s. So maybe Arizona was a fruitful, bountiful, maybe, non-desert.
But by where you were at.
I was not nowhere near Phoenix. I was in Bullhead City.
Oh, this is in Phoenix? Oh, yeah. They got mountains over there.
Mm-hmm. There was another story that I read where the person that's supposed to be like of a skeletal figure, someone tried shooting the red ghost, and while missing the actual animal, a head was decapitated and fell off with pieces of red hair.
What the
and
heck?
And decaying skin.
What is this?
So it goes back and forth in
what
between
is this
the
animal?
Soldier.
Yeah.
A camel.
Uh-huh.
Or possibly the devil.
Yeah, what the hell?
Mm-hmm. I've
but
never heard of a red camel.
Hair.
Yeah.
The I've red never. Hair is what throws me off.
Mm-hmm. So I'm going to go back just over overview with how camels are now and just a little bit of facts. The average speed that a camel can exceed is 40 miles per hour. Okay. They last about 40 years.
40 miles per hour is really fast.
And when
so
you have
maybe
just
they
horses,
did lose him
yeah.
when he ran off.
The okay. height of a camel is 5'9" to 6'6" when it comes to feet. They weigh about 880 pounds all the way to 1,300.
Whoa.
And it That's depends.
Big.
Some camels have one hump, others have two.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, in the distance, I would only confuse a animal that has more than one hump. I mean, I'm not going to automatically assume that it's a camel.
Right?
Especially, it's just a beast.
Especially
and it's
if you
red.
Don't know what a camel is. Because
mm-hmm.
these were brought over.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a natural animal you see every day.
Yep. So now, in today's price range to purchase a camel, it can go as low as $55,000 for one camel, all the way up $5 to $10 million.
Dang.
Depending on the rare species
the price
of what it is.
Surged.
Yes. They can drink 30 gallons of water in 13 minutes.
No.
Yeah.
Wow, they really just
mm-hmm.
inspired me to drink more water.
Yep. All right. And that's what I have for the red ghost. So I'm not quite sure. What do you guys think? Do you think it is a camel? Could
a Tasmanian
it be?
Devil. Are they red?
No, they're down. They're on all fours. Those are small.
Are they?
Yeah. They're like hedgehogs.
Oh, I just got the National Geographic picture in my head. It clicked and I was like, yeah, they're too little. Now it's time for
our Spanish word of the
day.
Our word of the day is psychic.
Psychic, which is psíquico. Did I say it right?
Psíquica.
Psíquicai.
Feminine, masculine.
Now for psychic.
Really?
Yeah. That one's a...
It's general?
Yeah. That's what Google Translate told me.
No.
Yes, it's psíquico. Hold on. Checking our sources. Psychic. Yeah, it's just psíquico. So yeah, that's our Spanish word of the day. Psychic, psíquico.
Psíquico.
There is a extra one that I just looked up. Medium. That one we're a little unsure of because... Medium, referring to a psychic or somebody who talks to the other side, is, how did you say
media?
Medium.
Oh.
Medium.
No.
And then, but at first, it told me medio.
Medio in English means in the middle, like medium heat.
Or medium with size.
In the middle.
Mm-hmm.
Medio. But medium, I think is how it pronounced it. So either way, psíquico, mm-hmm. medium, psychic.
Yes.
Medium. And that is
our Spanish word of the day.
My story. My turn. Okay, my turn.
Let us know what you're talking about.
I'm talking about a person, a real life person. She's alive right now. And yeah, she's a real person.
No, but she's her own company. Usually dead.
I know. Usually we talk about dead people. But I'm talking about a person, and I'm talking about two haunted dolls, one which we have covered before, so I'm
Chucky.
Sorry. I wish Chucky was real. I wish it was like a real story. Chucky?
Do you think... what is the other one? Raggedy Ann?
Raggedy Ann.
Could there be...
Wait. Annabelle was inspired by Raggedy Ann.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Not the cartoon, but I think somebody had a Raggedy Ann doll that they say was possessed, and that's what inspired them to make Annabelle. I could be wrong.
Not the movie.
The Raggedy Ann movie?
No.
Annabelle the movie?
Yeah.
Yeah. Like the movie. I don't know. I read that somewhere.
Okay.
Could have been false.
Let us know.
But Chucky, I wish Chucky was a real story.
Yeah.
That would have been a trip.
Mm-hmm.
This gets close. It gets close. All right. I'm talking about Jane Harris. You have heard her name before because Olivia talked about her on the Zach Baggins episode because she talked about Peggy the doll. I'm talking about Peggy the doll again. A little bit differently, though. So Jane Harris is a paranormal investigator. She's one of the most well-known paranormal researchers in the UK. She's also a writer, a producer, a director, an editor. She's a woman of all trades.
Hey.
She's been on shows like Help, My House is Haunted, Unexplained, Caught on Camera, Deadly Possessions, and many more.
Okay.
She studies psychology. She's worked in mental health. This lady is
on it.
Yes. But her specialty, what she is known for today, is that she studies haunted artifacts, particularly haunted dolls. And as of right now, she's been studying this phenomenon for over 22 years. She's got a lot of experience.
Is it passion?
I think so. She also keeps dolls in her basement. And we'll get into that in a second. We don't have a basement. We have an attic.
Do we?
We have an attic, and the entrance to the attic is in my closet.
That's where all the crickets are coming from.
No. Sealed it. I sealed it shut. No, I didn't. Growing up, Jane heard lots of ghost stories from her parents. Her parents liked ghost stories, and they would share them with her.
That's where all our ghost stories came from, though. Our parents scared the crap out of us.
But she was fascinated.
Okay.
She credits them for her fascination with the other side. And her fascination with haunted dolls started when she was a teenager. So when she was about 16 years old, she would visit spiritual churches and see psychic mediums. She was intrigued by a doll she came across one day that was said to turn on and off a TV and shake or rattle the silverware in the kitchen. But what pushed her like completely into this, like you were saying, is it passion? Is this is what she said. Her cousin died suddenly in a car accident when she was 17 years old. And at that age, you know, you like get that turning point where you're becoming an adult. And she got really into it. And she wanted to know, is there more? Is there something in the afterlife?
Mm-hmm.
And then with the dolls and everything. So she, that's probably where it came from. Some theories as to why dolls or objects have spiritual attachments, because it is something I think about, like, how does a thing have a spirit, right?
Well, it is some type of an attachment, or they chain, a link.
But how and why?
Well, just like when Martha was saying, you know, they find an object to hold the energy in.
Isn't that weird? Hers was a bear, right?
Mm-hmm.
A graduation bear.
Mm-hmm.
So Jane, she tries to explain in an interview about it. She did an interview with Vice, and you guys can look that up. She says that there's no spirits inside of objects, but it's the activity associated with it. So any object can be associated with some spiritual attachment if a spirit wants to be attached to it.
Mm-hmm.
But why dolls? And why is it always a doll? Like when you see movies and you read it in books, TV shows, it's always like a creepy doll. Well, for this, we go to a guy called
Jan the man.
John Zaffis, he's an American specialist, I'm guessing specialist with haunted dolls. He believes that because dolls get so much imagination, creativity, and energy put into them, whether it be from children or even adults who play with dolls, you know how you like put your energy into your favorite doll? He believes that's why some people become attached to dolls specifically. It's always like the stuffed bear, the graduation bear, right? And if you think about it, it's always like a bear or a stuffy, a Barbie.
I read a story that there was like a stuffed rabbit that it was in a haunted house. The person that was trying to sell, side story anyway, they had to get disposed of this rabbit because it was haunting the house, but it then linked to the rabbit.
Oh, snap. That's so weird. I mean, how do you figure out that it's the rabbit?
Because the rabbit, when they look at the object in itself, it feels different.
So let's get into the creepies now that you know a little bit of backstory. I want to start off with one of the most famous dolls, Miss Peggy the Doll. We talked, well, we didn't talk about it. Olivia talked about it a little bit in the Zach Baggins episode. Peggy now resides here in Las Vegas, but she was with Jane. Zach Baggins got it from Jane Harris. So Jane had gotten this doll from a consignment. Well, okay. I read two versions. Apparently Jane got this doll from a consignment store. And then another story is that the previous owner of the doll gave it to Jane because they know Jane, you know, studies haunted dolls. Either way, she ended up with Peggy. The previous owner, who only had Peggy for a few months, was claiming that the doll was terrorizing her. She said that she couldn't sleep, she was seeing shadows, doors were opening and closing on their own, and eventually she just wanted to get rid of Peggy. So either she gave it to this consignment shop and they had it in their shed, apparently, or she gave it to Jane. Okay. Jane, once she had Peggy the doll with her, she linked up with a psychic medium, and the psychic medium said that...
Psíquico.
That before... It was called Peggy the Doll. It was just a haunted doll. So when Jane got this haunted doll and she talked to the psychic medium, that medium is the one that told her
the name
Peggy is attached to this doll. And the medium also said that there's connections to Hyde Park in London, and there's something about a death in 1946, and there's something about tightness in the chest, right?
Okay.
So Jane took this information and she started doing her own investigation, as she does. She found a Peggy Hines who lived in that area in Hyde Park in London that was born in 1922 and died in 1946. So the date matches with the death. And they say that Peggy Hines died of an asthma attack.
In the chest.
Tightness in the chest. She's still at this point. She was waiting for death certificates when she found out who Peggy Hines was. And there, I tried to look up research. She did write a book about Peggy the Doll, so maybe it's in there. I didn't buy the book. But I couldn't find anything of like confirmation of death certificates and, you know, like any backstory about this lady. But, oh, the one other thing is that Peggy Hines was apparently a Holocaust survivor as well. The reason why Peggy the Doll is so scary is because she has been known to cause physical pain. The doll, not the lady. She has been known to cause, we talked about it the other one. She will give people headaches. People will get headaches just from looking at a picture of her. They will get sudden nosebleeds when they're in the presence of her. Apparently, okay, there was a experiment somebody was running online where they had a video of Peggy the doll. And they said, I want people to watch this video and tell me if anything happens to you. Over 80 people got physically ill. And one woman apparently had a heart attack after watching this video.
How?
I don't know. I've been looking at pictures because of Peggy the doll all day and I'm fine.
Yeah. For me, what I want to try and process and understand is if you're tormenting the doll, you're attacking the spirit or whatever they, you know, that, yes, you have some type of after effect. But if you're just staring
at
it.
You're just looking at a picture.
Come on.
You're not even in the room with her. Right? I don't know.
Okay.
If you guys want to know what Peggy the doll looks like without looking her up, because I know a lot of people are scared to look her up. I've been looking at pictures of her all day. Me and her are friends.
Huh? She look a China doll?
She looks like a very average doll. Not kidding. Like probably the base model of a doll. Like the ones you find at the dollar store. Like that base, fair skin, blue eyes, blonde hair, except her hair is cut in like a bowl cut, like a, almost like a bob. It's like the bowl, but it goes all the way around.
Okay.
right? That's how her hair is cut. She's wearing red shoes, white leggings, which I think are supposed to be tights because she has a light blue dress on, a dark blue cardigan over that. And then she has like those little thin arched eyebrows. She has like the little nose that's proportioned to her face. And then she has red lipstick, but it's not dark red. It's like a lighter red because it's a doll. The only thing about it is that she's about 2 feet tall.
Ooh, like a Mother Goose type
tall
puppet.
Kind of, yeah. So there's pictures of Jane with Peggy, and Peggy's like, Jane's sitting on the floor and Peggy's like,
no.
Yeah, she's pretty big. And I remember when we saw her at the museum, she's in a case and she's like center of attention in the room. Wow. She's pretty big. That's the only thing that's like a little.
Yeah.
Tall dolls. It reminds me of the American dolls.
Okay.
Those popular American dolls. And those dolls are pretty basic facial structure too. Mm-hmm. Very basic. Mm-hmm. That's kind of what she looks like. And I couldn't find 100% if she's glass, porcelain, or plastic. Most people think she's plastic.
Well, if she has to be, because I mean, lots of time has passed.
And the American dolls are plastic too, that thick plastic. Mm-hmm. So maybe, yeah, she's probably plastic. She's just that shiny plastic. That's why I couldn't figure out if she was porcelain or plastic.
Yeah.
Because she was like shiny. Anyways, that's what Peggy the doll looks like, if you were wondering. So Jane describes a few odd things that happened when she was conducting research on this doll. So on one of the days that she was conducting an experiment with Peggy the doll, she said a pendulum that she had was going crazy during the experiment. Pendulum is just like a stone that hangs from a string. Mm-hmm. And it was going
all
crazy.
All of the energy.
Mm-hmm. And then it gets even stranger because Jane uses notebooks to write down all of her notes. And the next day, she was looking for her notebook. She can't find it. And it's like, it's your research notebook. It's not going to, you're not going to misplace it.
Yep.
They looked all over the house. The notebook was on the beams in the basement, like on the ceiling beams.
What?
And it's so tall that her husband had to get a ladder to get it.
Wow.
Yeah. That one was weird. I was like, how could it have possibly gotten up there?
That's crazy.
That's weird. So I'm sure you guys are wondering how Jane conducts research on dolls, mm-hmm. right? So what she does is she uses the pendulum, like I said earlier. She does it in her basement. I mentioned she keeps all of these dolls in her basement because she feels like she can control a basement more than just a random room. So there aren't windows, no drafts of wind, the AC drafts, none of that, right? You shouldn't be hearing noises like knocks on the wall because you're in a basement. Obviously, you could hear noises coming from the ceiling because it's under a house. But if your house is empty, you should not be hearing noises come from the ceiling. She uses the basement so she can control her experiments as much as she can. She also has motion detectors, EMF readers, video cameras, pendulums, I wrote it again, recorders to record sound, night vision, because she keeps cameras rolling all night on these dolls. And then she also has holy water.
Wow.
This lady, yeah, like her basement is legit.
Yeah.
I just can't imagine how funny that must look, a lady in her basement with a bunch of
walking in
dolls and.
Well, no, I mean, if that's what her studies are, I mean, just like how chemists follow their.
That's what I'm saying. That's why it must look so just odd because.
Just walking into it. I can imagine myself walking into the room and just be like, whoa.
Right? Like it looks like a real research room, but it's dolls. Mm-hmm. It's weird. So here we go. This is the most creepy with Jane. She got her hands on an old man puppet. That's how Jane describes him. Because she got information from a psychic medium that the puppet, like the spirit in the puppet, is an old man. But this puppet looks like Benjamin Franklin.
What?
Yeah. When I saw the picture, I was like, this is the possessed puppet? Okay. It's Ben Franklin. It looks like a colonial Ben Franklin.
Really?
Yeah, with the receding hairline, the white hair, circular gold rimmed glasses. White shirt, big white bow tie, navy jacket, navy pants, black shoes. It looks like Ben Franklin. He's a lot smaller than Peggy. He's probably maybe a foot.
Okay.
Long, like a sandwich. And he's a marionette puppet. So strings are attached to his hands and his feet, and then they have the wooden cross to control him, right?
Yes.
The story behind this doll begins with the previous owner, John. He inherited this puppet after his dad passed away, and the puppet dates back to at least the 1960s. John said he never liked the puppet, but he kept it because his dad loved it so much. He says his first memory of the puppet was when he was 19 years old, when he saw it hanging in his dad's spare room. Does that ring any bells in your brain about puppets hanging from the ceiling?
Mm-hmm.
We had two.
Mm-hmm. Well, didn't we still have it in one right now?
We still have one. Mm-hmm. I took it down because we were redecorating the room and I was going to put it back. And mm-hmm. Ayrton told me, I don't like that one.
Okay, dig it out.
One of them specifically. And I go, why? And she goes, I don't like the face.
And I was like, okay, I'm going to put it up. Wow.
Isn't that weird?
Because
mm-hmm. I was like, what didn't you like about the face? It's just it's a clown hanging from an umbrella. And I'm like, it's not the clown's fault that his face looks like that. He's just a happy clown. Clowns are here to make you laugh. And she's like, I don't like it.
Oh,
I was like, okay, I won't put it up there. I'm not asking any more questions. I'm not putting him up there. John has been interviewed about the doll. And this is what he said. This is his words. I never liked it, and people would never sleep in the same room as the puppet because there was a weird atmosphere in the room. He goes on to say, I cleared out, this is now like how he got the doll. I cleared out all of my dad's belongings apart from the puppet, which I left on the drawer by my bed for some reason, and that night it felt like I was being choked. I was wide awake in bed, and I thought I saw a shadow moving from one side of the window to the other and worried something was trying to scare us, so his wife was in the bed with him. Then without warning, my throat suddenly went really tight. I've never had anyone's hand around my throat before, so it was really scary. While I was choking, I tried to wake my wife, but it took her ages to come around. When she did, I remember looking straight at the puppet sitting on the drawer near our bed and realizing it was him.
What?
Two weeks after inheriting the puppet, this is still John talking, mm-hmm. I started to have really bad headaches and feeling dizzy, which I never thought could be the puppet.
Mm-hmm.
I struggled to sleep because I'd have nightmares where an old man would be holding me down or sitting at the edge of my bed.
What?
So after these 2 weeks, he decided he needed to do something, and he contacted Jane to investigate the puppet. Jane took the puppet to her house, and John said he and his wife immediately felt better.
What do you think triggered the puppet to, again, attack somebody who has nothing?
Right. And why didn't John say anything about his dad having an experience with this puppet? Where did the puppet come from? Right.
That's why I say, is it passion or an obsession?
I don't know. So here's the best part. This is why I wanted to talk about it. Jane has the puppet in her basement. Jane has video footage of the puppet moving.
No.
Yes, she does. Yes, she does. Chucky. Little Ben Franklin.
Just falling over?
Okay, so I'll tell you. So Jane says that she's caught things like orbs, mist, and shadows in her research, but nothing like what she's caught from this puppet. Jane keeps this puppet in a sealed, blessed cabinet as it's a safe zone. It's a safe zone for the puppet, right? Because it's possessed. And it's a way she tries to keep control, right, on her experiments. The cabinet has no doors. You have to physically lift all four sides to move it off of the base. There aren't any holes in it, so no critters can get in there. It's a sealed container cabinet.
Okay.
The video. The night vision video she has that is available to watch everywhere. You can watch it if you want to look at it. It's not as scary as I thought it was going to be, but it's still kind of spooky because it's a night vision video.
Mm-hmm. It's not one of those where the spider comes up in the end, right?
No, you should have saw me when the video came up. I was like, I'm waiting for the scary face to go. Bah!
Yeah.
So the video shows the puppet's the cross, the wooden cross, slowly move. It moves upright, stops, and then hits the glass.
But that cross is on a stand?
It was just leaning against. It looks like it's leaning against him like this.
Okay.
So how would it go like that mm-hmm. on its own?
Mm-hmm. It ain't magnet.
So in an interview, Jane says, a medium said the spirit attached to the doll is an old man, which is why she calls it the old man puppet. And the medium said that the spirit of the old man is mocking them because apparently the medium says the spirit is going in and out of this blessed box.
Huh.
Okay, so Jane thought mm-hmm. she was going to have the experiment under control and keep it in a blessed cabinet where the doll's spirit or whatever can be contained.
Inside.
And it can go in and out freely. It's not contained. Can. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
The container is only a physical thing. So in theory, something that's not of the physical world could pass in and out. This is her words. Since obtaining him, there have been some strange bumps and knocking sounds, but nothing we could definitively say was the puppet until this video. So, of course, there are some skeptics. They say that it was gravity, because obviously gravity.
Yeah.
That is a real thing.
Yes.
But Jane points out that the crossbar, doesn't look like it simply falls over. And I agree with her when I saw the video. It doesn't look like it just tips. Like, it's not barely leaning against something. That thing looks like it moves. She claims that the footage is not faked because it's her business. It's her reputation.
She has multiple videos.
Well, this is the one video that she has posted and stands out because it's the only one that she has of something actually moving on its own.
Okay.
Yeah. That's like her main video that she has. But like she said, she's caught other things, mist, orbs, mm-hmm. things like that, shadows, but nothing like this. She wow. says that she believes that a spirit is responsible for making the puppet's control bar fall into the cabinet's glass, the glass pane. She says it looks, like I said, it looks like the cross arm, the crossbar, whatever you want to call it. It looks like it moves, stops, mm-hmm. and then tips over.
Wow.
And there's no explanation for that. Gravity did not do that.
Mm-hmm.
And that's all I have for this story.
That's crazy.
This happened in 2015. It's been a while.
Yeah.
And I tried to look up how Zach got Peggy the doll because you would think, because Jane... In 2015, when she did this interview with Vice, mm-hmm. she said she had 15 dolls in her basement. She says she doesn't want to get rid of all of them because she actually auctions them. Like, that Vice article talks about how she auctions the doll sometimes. Like, do you want to adopt a haunted doll?
And people buy them.
And people, yeah.
That's a little weird.
But I'm wondering, Peggy the doll, the most notorious, famous, most haunted doll in the world, and she gave it away, I would think that there would be no price for Peggy.
Yeah.
And I could not find an interview, an article, nothing that says why Zach has the doll now.
Hmm. That's interesting.
It is interesting. And I wonder if she still has this old man puppet or if somebody adopted it. I don't know. I ain't adopting nothing from her.
I'm not buying nothing from no auction there. No. That's for sure. Go in and out. Can you imagine?
Right.
That means he can tie to anything.
Anything.
Yeah.
He just picked this doll for now. And mm-hmm. who knows?
Mm-hmm.
If you want, you can find Jane Harris's. Her Instagram is HDghost_girl. And her like personal company is called HD Paranormal. Or you could just Google her name. She's everywhere. It's Jayne, not Jane. But that is what I have. Little
that is crazy. Two dolls for one.
Ben Franklin.
You would think they would go as a pair though, because you said that they were. Because
Jane, since she's a researcher, and those are like the two main things. Yeah. I'm sure she has more, but those are the two that I'm talking about today because mm-hmm. it's too much to talk about.
We hope you enjoyed our episode today on Peggy. What's the old man? Just the old man.
Old man puppet Benjamin Franklin
and the red ghost. Yep.
The red ghost. Mm-hmm. Leaving red hair everywhere.
Red hair and cloved hooves. Prints.
Yeah. So wait. That's right. It can't be a bear. A bear doesn't have hooves.
No. But so that story with Dang. The bear is where it eats the bear. What
yeah,
camel
and then it
eats
the bear.
Bears?
That's true.
They eat anything. Camels eat anything. But I've never heard of a fierce camel.
Right? A rogue camel.
Mauling a bear.
I'm like thinking of different animals. Mm-hmm. Anyways, that's the red ghost. Unsolved. Cold mm-hmm. case.
This wraps up this episode. Subscribe to Las Brujas and Friends podcast.
Make sure to follow us on Instagram at Las Brujas Podcast and on Twitter at Brujas Podcast and on YouTube at Las Brujas and Friends Podcast. We would love to hear from you.
Any feedback, suggestions, or personal testimonials that confirm these stories, we would love to read them.
A question for you.
Did you hear about the Red Ghost, Arizonians, or has anybody heard about the Red Ghost?
Yes, I want proof. I want to see this Red Ghost. And do you guys believe that these dolls are really moving on their own?
Join us next week. We post every Friday.
Bye.